The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, the return of producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I say return, but you missed 2 days.
Missed 2 days.
Thursday and Friday. People missed you, though, man. Wyatt Tomchek was great in your stead.
Sure, he did a great job, as he always does.
A wonderful job, but people missed you, man.
Well, it was nice to get a couple days off, just a little breather.
Where'd you go? What'd you do?
Went down to Phoenix for a couple days. Phoenix area, a couple days. Just had a buddy move down there, so spent some time with him, watched some games. I was back here, by the weekend, though.
Okay.
Just hanging out, relaxing.
So you are aware that we now have a Final Four, sir?
Whew.
You aware of this?
So what a couple games yesterday, man.
By the way, on the show, Mike Somich today to talk Final Four with us. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave among our Final Four focused guests today. But let me just start by saying, let's just take betting aside for a second. If the NCAA and if the networks could have constructed which four teams they would want to be in the Final Four, I'm not sure you could have done better than this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you could have. Let's just go through the character profiles. In UConn, you have the Goliath. UConn, which has led their four NCAA tournament games by 39, 30, 32, and 31 at different points. Not to mention winning that first one by 39, but 39, 30, 32, and 31. They have won, if you extend it back into last season, the defending champs have won 10 straight NCAA tourney games by 13 or more points. That's the longest streak of all time. They've trailed in this tournament for a grand total of 23 seconds. And if you go back to the Sweet 16 of last year, so that's four games, 16, 8, 4, and championship last year, and the first four games of this tournament, talking about eight basketball games, 320 minutes. They have trailed for a grand total of 5 minutes and 50 seconds in those 320 minutes. So you have your Goliath. And by the way, I go back in NCAA history and try to think of an equivalent to this. And you think of the great Georgetown teams, which went to three title games. You know, the competition then was such that you couldn't blow out everybody. The Duke, Leitner, Hurley Hill teams, the competition was such that you couldn't blow out every team. The only comp I can think of is the last back-to-back championship team, which was Florida back in 2006 and 2007. Even that group didn't do it quite like the numbers I just threw out. If you go back to 2006, 2007, Florida's wins, yeah, they had their share of, they had about six double-digit wins in those two championship runs. But there was a 4-point win, and there were 7-point wins and 8-point wins. I mean, they were dominant those two seasons for sure, but not like this group. My God. So that's your Goliath that you handpick again with all those numbers I just gave out. And if you had to pick a team where you would say, okay, we got to pick someone who has a puncher's chance against that Goliath in the Final Four, maybe you might pick Alabama. Maybe you would. A team that is a traditional football school that's never been to a Final Four before is a ragtag group. If you think about it, Stevenson was a 5-star, but Grant Nelson, Estrada, Reitzel, I know he's hurt, but these guys were transfers. Three new assistant coaches, but the highest scoring team in college basketball, a team that makes over 11 threes per game. That's a puncher's chance. Maybe that's the team you select to go up against your Goliath. And then on the other side, you have the most redemptive of all stories, the biggest redemption story of them all, Purdue, trying to do what Virginia did 5 years ago, which has become the second team that lost to a number 16 seed as a one. Purdue having done so against Fairleigh Dickinson last year, Virginia famously having done so in 2018 against UMBC, commuter school, outside of Baltimore, and then coming back the next year and winning the national title. And good on Matt Painter and Purdue, with, by the way, the best player in the country, and a Wooden Award winner in Zach Edey, back-to-back, it looks like. That would probably be a third team you would select, the best redemption story, against your huge Cinderella. And that is what you get in NC State. A team who, I mean, This does now have Jim Valvano 1983 feels from 41 years ago. And I mentioned this when we were talking March Madness either last week or the week before, but that 1983 team, they lost, I think, 10 of their 9 of their last 19. I mean, that was almost the whole season, really, back in those days. But they were not a juggernaut at all in the regular season. They did beat Virginia and UNC in the ACC tournament. Does that sound familiar? So did this group of NC State players. And then I remembered, Kelly, this is a true story, my math teacher at the time, and I pray he's listening, or one of my classmates from back then is listening. But I remember before that NCAA tournament, my math teacher, Steve Sorkin from North Carolina, he said, you know the team I would watch out for is State. Watch out for State. And they come out in the NCAA tournament, and Pepperdine takes them to 2 overtimes. They even trailed in the first overtime of that game by 6 and came back to win that game, and the rest is history. This version of the Wolfpack, I mean, this might even be more incredible. They were, Evan Abrams tweeted this out yesterday, they were 200-1 to make the Final Four before this tournament started. 4 games ago, they were 200-1 to make the Final Four. Congratulations, anybody had that. But the similarities with the Wolfpack team of 41 years ago, of Derek Wittenberg, Sidney Lowe, Thurl Bailey, Terry Gannon, Cozell McQueen, they lost their last 4 regular season games. They lost the last 7 of 9. They lost the last 10 of 14. And they get to their first Final Four since 1983, winning 5 straight over 5 days in D.C. in the in the ACC tournament. We joked they won more games at Capital One Arena than the Wizards had all year long in those 5 days. And then here they are, 4 in a row as an 11 seed. And let's go back to that semifinal game in the ACC tournament. Talk about, you know, the Wolfpack from 41 years ago having that near miss against Pepperdine to start out March Madness. This NC State team on Friday of the ACC tournament, Kelly, the semifinal game against Virginia, they're down 3 with 5 seconds left. And Isaac McNeely of Virginia, an 88.5% free throw shooter, clanks the front end of a 1-1. I believe it was the front end of a 1-1. Clanks it, rebound. And then Michael O'Connell banks in a desperation 3 that not only did banked in, but banked and then did a little roll around the hoop and in. If that does not happen, an 88.5% free throw shooter missing a free throw, if that does not happen, they don't get to the dance at all. That is how thin of a margin this is. It's incredible. I don't think you could ask for 4 better stories. Yep. or handpick 4 better teams. Now, I say that on the one hand, and on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, what are you talking about, Gil? But look at the spreads. This is just
from a narrative.
From a narrative standpoint.
You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right. I think all I could think watching the end of that Tennessee-Purdue game yesterday, though, was, Is this the next best game we're going to get outside of whatever potential national championship is, which I think is UConn and Purdue?
I mean, maybe, right? It feels that way. Listen, I cashed a UConn Final Four ticket plus 180. Whoop-de-doo, right? I have the Alabama futures, one of which I got in June, the other of which I got in November, 60-1 and 40-1.
Alabama this week.
So here's the deal with my Alabama ticket. And we've won, like, 2022, we did nothing but win futures on this show. 2023 was the year of near misses, right? We had a stretch where we, like, had a bunch of near misses also with, in 2022 as well, with Soto and NL MVP Max Duggan for Heisman, whole bunch of stuff. This Alabama one is the closest I think I ever remember getting to the promised land on a ticket and still feeling to my, and still saying to myself, it has 0.0000001% chance. Yeah,
I think you're, but like, as you kind of hinted at when you just brought up that matchup, like, yep, this, okay, you're going against UConn.
Puncher's
this chance. Is the team I want, because they're, yes, going to take a lot of threes. If you get a shooting variance to go your way, it's one game. It's one game. All you got to do is have the percentages go your way one game, and you can get out, escape with one.
Well, people were asking me 2 questions. What are you going to do with your ticket? Well, one, you can't do anything with your ticket. Yeah. They're massive dogs. You can't do it. You'd hope for Alabama to get off to, like, a 10-0 start, let's say, and then in-game it somehow. Even that wouldn't be. It'd be too early in the game. You still couldn't do anything. So.
A 10-point lead in half.
That's right. You can't do anything in that early either. The other one is, what does Alabama have to do to win? Alabama has to Alabama has to do what Villanova did in the 1985 championship against Georgetown, which is shoot damn near 80%, but in this case, do it from three. That's the only recipe. It's the only recipe. And if you're going to pick a team that has a shot at doing that, this is this group of Crimson Tide players, which is just an incredible story. The formula. We don't have to spend much time on it, but the tried and true formula, which we've gone through week after week after week. Last 33 champs, more assists than turnovers. 31 of the last 33 had a head coach with prior Sweet 16 experience. 27 of the last 28 went in the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. Last 28 had a top 75 strength of schedule. And then the KenPoms, 20 of the last 21 in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency. And 20 of the last 21 champs in top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency. And remember that the 2014 UConn Huskies were really the exceptions on almost all of those. Kevin Ollie as well, the coach of that team. The only exceptions being Danny Hurley was not a Sweet 16 coach when he won with UConn last year. And Baylor was the one exception in the adjusted defensive efficiency. Well, the formula is very clear. UConn and Purdue can win this, and Alabama and NC State cannot. It's that simple. UConn's been in it every week. They've never been out of the formula. And Purdue, as you remember, has been out to in to out to in. They've never been more than a tick out, and they've been in for a while now here. That's it. Formula's like, it's UConn or Purdue. And that's what the betting markets, of course, say. UConn, a double-digit favorite in their game against Alabama. And in the case of Purdue, not quite double-digit favorite. That's what we got. We'll talk about most outstanding player in the tournament. More NCAAs on the other side. Numbers Game, Beast, and the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter,
I'll get you all set for the Final Four. We got a big women's doubleheader tonight. Caitlin Clark in action. All that, yes. In the newsletter and more.
Get expert analysis, the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Bill's Late Night is your morning, Kelly. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Speaking of that, by the way, how pumped are you for these games tonight in women's college hoops?
I'm fairly pumped, yes. At least for LSU at Iowa.
Yeah. Second game's good, too.
You're talking about the narrative of that Final Four. I know. What are we on the second? This is the second day of the Elite
Eight? Second day of the Elite Eight.
Yeah. I mean, jeez. You literally have a superstar on all four of these teams playing tonight that I could intelligently talk about.
Second game is Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins in the UConn-USC game. The first game, though, is the rematch of the national title game last year between LSU and Iowa. Caitlin Clark, I'm going to say this and I'm going to let the hate wash over me for anybody who disagrees. Caitlin Clark is more famous than anyone is in men's college basketball. And I know we're right in the moment where everybody thinks Zach Edey is more famous than Caitlin Clark. He's not.
Oh, totally agree. Did you talk about it all into the show last week? I don't remember when it came down, like that Ice Cube, like Big Three news or whatever. They were offering her like millions of dollars to go play in the Big Three.
Oh, I didn't hear anything about that.
Next year, I don't know if that came out officially or not, but there were like reports of that.
Ice Cube offered it to her?
Yeah, because then he's like a part of the league. He's like a part of the Big Three. I don't remember how it works.
We'd be clubbing. And so you have Caitlin Clark in Iowa against the team that has been cast as the villain. Whether you agree with that or not, that's what they're being cast as. Both with their head coach, Kim Mulkey, who threatened to sue everybody and hasn't yet, in terms of newspapers.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Really, the LA Times article was worse than the Washington Post one in the end. And then Angel Reese, who famously, of course, did the look at my ring sign to Caitlin Clark when all was said and done last year in the LSU-Iowa championship game. So that is, I mean, I cannot wait for these games tonight. It's awesome.
I completely agree with you. She's more famous than anybody in the men's tournament. She's also, I mean, there's never been a player in the women's game that's made me want to watch as much as she has.
Iowa is favored by 2 points. Most people in the know say LSU ought to be favored, but that Iowa gets the Caitlin Clark market, you know, public market boost. And then UConn is a 3.5-point favorite against USC, and this is not as good of a UConn team as previous years that we have known from the UConn dynasty. By the way, of course, the on the men's side, as we mentioned, UConn an 11-point favorite, 11.5-point favorite, pardon me, over Alabama in the nightcap on Saturday. Purdue a 9-point favorite over NC State. Man, oh man. And that game is going to, so much of that game is going to come down to, is Zach Edey going to get DJ Burns and other Wolfpack players in foul trouble? Because that obviously was the big story yesterday. It's always the story with Purdue games,
though. Yeah, I'm getting... I haven't done anything with either of those games.
I have not.
Yeah, you haven't either. Okay, I Purdue, where did this... Did this open at 9 last night? Have we not really moved at all? It's an interesting number. If that comes down at all, which I don't know, I expect it to. Right? Yeah, that's 9.5 a lot of places, so it's no surprise. If that came down, might be interested in Purdue. I mean, that's going to be an interesting matchup with Edey and Burns, but, like, man, Edey's just massive.
But this is the other part that is parallel to the Wolfpack from 41 years ago. Every single game, nobody gave him a chance. And, like, after four times of this in March Madness, let alone the 5 ACC games, it's like, y'all going to lay points against this team? Are you crazy?
I hear you.
By the way, I didn't, when I was going through the narrative of how this is like, you know, the best group of four you could choose from, well, the Wolfpack has the single most likable player in the whole tournament.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. Are you kidding me?
Survivor, just to give you an idea, I long ago have been eliminated from Survivor, but we had 2,200 plus in our pool, down to 10 survivors heading into the Final Four. 10 people, 10 entries have gotten through. We did this a little bit last week, too, the two most amusing announcer comments. People seem to like that. Bill Raftery, this is in the Houston. Oh, by the way, when I go through the four teams that, for narrative standpoint, that the NCAAs and the networks, they couldn't have handpicked a better four teams. My apologies go to Houston in all of that, because no team got shafted more than Houston with the Jamal Shedd injury. That is just so unfortunate. Yeah. But Bill Raftery with Houston with the ball down three, less than 10 seconds left, having only committed four team fouls. Bill Raftery. Now, if you're Houston, you got to think three. I love that kind of stuff. Yeah, no, you probably should think three.
They get so excited.
And then Alabama up three on Clemson, 35-32, late in the first half. Brian Anderson, the score is in Clemson's favor. I think what he meant there was the pace and the fact that the score was muted.
Yeah, right.
Is that he meant that it was Clemson's favorite? It didn't come out that way. Most outstanding player.
Oh, we're right behind me now. Okay, I didn't catch that.
I'm sorry?
We're right behind me now. Gotcha, okay. He's been moving his way down every game.
Nothing bothers Kelly Bidlin more, ladies and gentlemen, than someone who has, what do we call it, 30 video poker machines to choose from?
Yeah. But he's been going one at a time. I think he's moved down nine machines since we started the show.
So the guy is right behind Kelly, and Kelly cannot stand this. There he is on camera. Right, it's like he's got 30 others to play on. Nope, right there. Systematic.
And he had to bulldoze through ropes just to get there.
There's the helicopter shot.
There's the helicopter shot.
This drives Kelly crazy. All right, so most outstanding player is something that you can bet on as well. And we are, you know, obviously down to the Final Four here. And so
these are hilarious.
Well, this is one of these markets where, first of all, you have to give history. Most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament. The first question should be, can a player on a team that does not win the title win this? Right? That's the first question. And the answer to that is, if you go back exactly 41 years to 1983, the year that we've been referencing about NC State, Akeem Olajuwon, then spelled with an A as opposed to H-A to start his name, he won most outstanding player that year, 1983.
I had no idea that was a thing.
What?
Akeem?
Yeah, it used to be Akeem, and then he changed it to Akeem.
Okay.
Yeah, he changed the spelling. Okay, so the answer is, yeah, probably not. Probably not. If history is a guide, probably not. So then it really is completely correlated with your handicap of who do you think's winning the tournament. And if you think, like most, the favorite being UConn at this point, right? Just destroying everybody in the tournament. If you think it's UConn, well, it's not that easy. Because UConn is the most democratic of all the teams.
It's incredible.
So Donovan Klingon is the short shot to win this at plus 180. But the third, fourth, and fifth are also Huskies. Tristan Newton, the Naismith finalist. Pardon me, not Naismith finalist. But the what's the guard award again? Is it Naismith? I can't remember now what the award is for for guard specifically. But he's one of the finalists for that award, and he's plus 475. Cam Spencer's 9-1, and Castle's 20-1. So if you think it's UConn, it's not that easy. Yeah, Klingon probably is correct in the driver's seat, but who knows? If one of those guys had a massive semifinal and final, then it's probably them if UConn wins it.
I mean, that's a little bit of the trouble of betting this award right now, right? You go down and look at that list of who's won it. It's even a lot of like who had the big championship game or the big shot or the big moment in that. So it's tricky. The one that is interesting on here, though, because we talk about this a lot with Super Bowl, MVP, Super Bowl. I mean, if you were going to bet Purdue.
Well, this is where I was going. So, by the way, Cousy Award is what I was looking for the guards with Tristan Newton. But yeah, if it's Purdue, if it's NC State, well, let's just start with those two. If it's Purdue and NC State, it's going to be Edie and it's going to be Burns, right?
Yeah.
All right, so Edie's second behind Klingon at plus 220. Burns comes right after the other trio of UConn players at 20-1. And if you're Bama, if you think Bama somehow wins this, and by the way, I've never wanted the formula to be wrong like I do this year. Please be wrong, formula. Mark Sears, also a Cousy Award finalist, is 25-1. And Mark Sears probably is the Bama player in the driver's seat that would win that. But, but if Grant Nelson had one more signature game, I could see it going to him.
Yeah, I think that I'm with you. That's the one I'd probably stay away.
What is he, 60-1? Something like that?
Yeah, I'll pull it up. That's probably the one I'd stay away from, too. I'm just like comparing the team odds, right? So 16-1 for NC State to win it. So you'd go 20-1 with Burns instead of 16-1. What are the chances that they win without him winning this award? And then same thing with Edie, right? It's 205 to get on Purdue right now. I'd rather just bet Zach Edie.
That's the best advice. Bet by proxy for those two teams in the most outstanding player. If you believe, if it correlates with your handicap, if you believe Purdue's winning it all, if you believe NC State's winning it all, this is probably the better way to bet that.
I was blown away with Edie yesterday. Like he was incredible. He was absolutely incredible.
33 free throw attempts for Purdue, 11 for Tennessee. That's a massive disparity, but it's a very lazy analysis to say, oh, they called it wrong. Tennessee doesn't have players that draw fouls necessarily. And most of Purdue's games, Purdue has not 22 more free throw attempts, I grant you that, but they have a pretty solid advantage in free throw attempts. More March Madness on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits. For free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter baseball bets today. You okay, man?
I'm okay. It's really odd to me that the cocktail waitresses here in the morning seem to be annoyed by me. I don't get it. You know what I mean? We only sit in this corner and I just yell random things throughout 2 hours.
What about that one girl who liked your boy and like she disappeared ever since?
Oh my God. It's like hilarious.
She's disappeared out of thin air. They fired her or something.
What are we? You have to tell me when we can talk about that on air.
No, we shouldn't. And we didn't do anything. I'm just saying, like, stuff happens around here. We have no explanation.
It was weird, though. You're right. It was weird.
We get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is Joe Ryan. I love when the pod and prop come together. Was listening to you and got offered a prop that gives back $2 for every win in the time frame of this wager. Oh, he's talking about the March-April baseball bet that I made on the Cleveland Guardians. To have the most wins March-April, 65-1. By the way, they started 3-1. They came all the way back against the A's yesterday, but gacked it. He says, I do need to read the dead heat rule. But anyway, he's making bets on that. So let's good luck to all of us. Jimmy Lopez, is Kelly technically producer number 11 now, or does he default back to number 9? No, he's 9. You got to be 3 months in a row to be an actual number.
I was going to say, it's a fair question. Gil does have rules, of course.
There are rules.
How this works.
Jack and a Prius 2.0. How the hell am I supposed to hedge my North Carolina State and Bama futures with these high number money lines? Woof. Yeah, man. Jamie Leva. Good to see Kelly's back from Falcon retraining. Have a great day, gentlemen. You too.
I wish.
Trip Tepper. I was talking about, is there a comp for this run from UConn? He said 2009 North Carolina won all six tournament games by at least 12 points all the way to the title. All right. Almost there. UConn doing this over a couple seasons. Auburnist, are you going to cash out any value on your Bama ticket? Also, a reminder, I'm not cheering for the University of the SEC in this tournament. That's the Auburnist talking about Bama. That, okay, so this is a great question. He's asking, am I cashing out? Here is the problema. We're in the state of Nevada. I made one in June and one in November. You know how I did them? By walking up to the counter before we had apps.
Yeah.
At least the June one was before we had apps. I can't remember the November story. And I don't know that I can cash them out. If we were in another state, I could just press a button and do it. By the way, I don't know how much value you'd get on those cash outs either, with them being double-digit dogs. Nonetheless,
yeah,
but still,
yeah, there's a lot of things that you know, Gil and I like to feel we can educate people on out there. The cash out.
This ain't one of them.
It's not really one of them because we've only had it at what, two books for all of 6 months.
Let me tell you, there's a prominent pillar of offshore that just started offering cash outs literally a week and a half ago. It's just not it. You guys are way ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah. And what you said is important. Like, that is, I mean, look, if you're in this position with those tickets, yeah, it's maybe something to consider. But you have to look at what you're actually, what the payout is.
Like I said, I've never been theoretically, right, so close to cashing out a big future without thinking to myself I have any chance whatsoever. Like, I just have no chance whatsoever. Trip Tepper adds this. The NCAA was really ahead of the curve for April Fool's Day with the three-point line debacle in the Portland venue. Measured twice, cut once. Did you see this?
Crazy.
So the first half of the Elite Eight.
And so not surprising.
Apparently they didn't have the protractor out or whatever, but the three-point line was closer to the top of the key on one side of the court than it was on the other. And the two teams, who was it, Texas and
I
they playing? They both agreed. They're like, we're playing.
And then shot better, right? Shot better on the side that had the longer three-point line.
So
it's just, I mean, as I heard a couple of people say, only women's college basketball. Like, we just spent a few minutes talking about how great the games are tonight.
Yeah.
And it's just been, what, years now, these stories of what there was the preseason tournament out here in Vegas that was an absolute nightmare, right, at last year or whatever, with that private company putting it on. There was, like, nobody. There was no EMTs or anything in attendance. That was a disaster. It's just amazing this stuff can happen.
Moneyline Marv, glad to know I'm not the only person who randomly blurts out, we be clubbing, whenever Ice Cube is mentioned in friend discussions. Do you even catch that I said that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's great just shouting things that goes over Kelly's head. And then finally, Mark Descartes. He says, Gilly, I missed your tennis play preflop, but I got Munar plus 297 live, then I got Van Ash plus 247 live. Life is good. Yeah, okay, so hardcourt season is over. We're up over 25 units on the season, betting
nice.
Tennis. I'm going to miss you hard courts. So starting today, clay court season began. Kelly, it is like handicapping a completely different sport from scratch with, like, totally different players. There were some clay court tournaments early in the year, and we're all familiar. Those of us who are tennis hardos are all familiar with these players. But it really is like starting from scratch, and you don't want to mess up your hard court season. We only had one play in clay. Now, by the way, this is one of these things during the hard court season. We were in the United States with Indian Wells in Miami, so I could give them out on air. Now, a lot of these tournaments are overseas, and the time zone differences are such that when I come on air, the matches will have already started. So if you are a subscriber, VSiN.com/picks, where all of our hosts and all of our guests on the network, all of their picks in every sport are for subscribers, you would have had Munar this morning in Marrakesh, Morocco, on clay, our only play. He won the first set in a tiebreaker and is up a break in the second set. What could go wrong? But again, if you're a subscriber, we got him at plus 100, even money on Munar this morning. So hopefully he can bring that home. But again, VSiN.com/picks, because I won't be able to give away a lot of them on the show because of time zone differences.
What's that first name?
I don't know how you pronounce it, but I'm going to say he's from Spain.
Jaime, they misspelled it?
No, he's from Spain, so I'm going to say it's Jaume.
Jaume.
Yeah.
I like that. And Munar.
Jaume Munar.
M-U-N-A-R. Not Damonauer.
No. Don't confuse the people.
No, that's what I was trying to help. I was going to look.
You're just confusing the people.
I don't want people looking for him.
I lied. I said we're going to talk more college basketball, but we got Matty Cox and we got Mike Somich coming on. By the way, real quick, golf. You didn't have the winner, did you?
Oh, I mean, I had the winner just in top 20, and top 40 markets. Yeah,
Wes had an outright on.
Yeah, Wes had an outright. Yeah, we'll talk NBA later. This is good. This was a heck of a tournament. I don't know if just for people talking, this was one of the better PGA Tour finishes I thought of the season at least. I was away, so I didn't really watch a ton of the first two rounds. The finish I thought was incredible, and
we should mention the winner was Jaeger. Yeah, Stefan Jaeger.
Yeah, Stephen Jaeger. Yeah. He won it. His first win on PGA Tour. If you've been following Long Shots, listen to me talk golf on here. He's been a guy I've bet heavily. This is his first win, so I didn't bet it outright. Wes did though. I thought it was a comical conversation today, based off of a really great talk we had about golf betting and outright betting last Wednesday before I left.
Yeah.
Just to see how this played out was a little comical in that sense.
The conversation about the leaks.
Right. Yeah. Because I think Jaeger is a guy that you would say in the past, a lot of people have outright leaks on it. And I would do. I would bet him. He just doesn't win on the PGA Tour, wins. And in the end, I mean, Scottie Scheffler had a chance to make it three in a row. A very, very real chance to make it three in a row.
He had a very makeable putt to push it to a playoff, and he just missed.
Yeah, just missed. And plenty of opportunities before. It was incredible that Jaeger just parred out the back nine and nobody caught him. Like, I thought someone was going to catch him. There were so many guys there with a chance. And I was telling you this before the show. Anybody who doesn't know the name Alejandro Tosti, look him up online. I didn't really know he was going to jump onto the scene like this, in this fashion, finishes T2 at this tournament. Gilly's 5'6". Bombs, he hit a 380-yard drive yesterday. And this guy doesn't take crap from anybody. He doesn't care if you're Jack Nicklaus or you're a rules official. He's the Nick Kyrgios of the PGA Tour. He's thrown temper tantrums. It could be something to watch.
Oh, wow.
And all I could think yesterday was the PGA Tour needs this guy or Scottie Scheffler to win so badly.
And they didn't.
And they did it. And Stephen Jaeger has to win.
Jaeger beat a group of golfers. Yeah. I'm talking like five different golfers were one stroke back, including the two we mentioned, Scottie Scheffler, world number one, and Alejandro Tosti, who Kelly is referring to, an Argentine, one stroke back. What was Jaeger pre-flop in this?
To like 60-1, something like that.
And this year, 60-1 is nothing, right? Yeah. 60-1, no big deal.
I mean, when I was looking at it, I definitely remember having the thought of this is too short to bet an outright on Steve.
Yeah, but you know, as soon as you said 5'6", immediately the golfer, for those of us a certain age, who came into mind was Ian Woosnam. Ian Woosnam, who won the Masters at 5'6". And I just remember thinking then while watching this, like, is there something about being 5'6" where you can just plant yourself into the ground more than others and just whack it? 380-yard drives from Tosti?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There was wind and elevation involved, but still, it was the furthest drive of the day. He's incredible. I mean, he got into it with Tony Finau on Saturday about whose turn it was to putt. Like, he was arguing about who was further out. He's someone to watch out for.
We got to get to the other sports because we want to talk some more college hoops. Some NHL with Jake Hahn on the other side as the playoffs approach next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. $500 for every $1,000. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. It's a heck of a deal right there. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jason H11, I thought you were going to start off the show with an April Fool's joke telling us the name of the sushi place. Well, Jason, you thought incorrectly.
I hate this day so much. For us working in sports and sports media, the fake news on Twitter, and like, I don't even know if I fell for one this morning. I think I did. FAU USF football game on an aircraft carrier? I mean, people are laughing at me on Twitter. I retweeted it. I think it's a joke, but I've seen a basketball game played on an aircraft carrier.
You know what April Fool's joke I fell for? I looked at the NBA Defensive Player of the Year odds, and they're going opposite of what they should be. Like, what a joke. I thought it was hilarious. We'll get into that later. Ridiculous. Corbin, I think the levels of professionalism in on this show cannot be downplayed. Gil keeping his train of thought and not messing up at all as an alarm blares in the background, screams out, he says. Or Kelly keeping his cool as the old degenerate gamblers push their way behind the set. You know, Corbin, I'm glad you bring that up. It's just a circus act here is what we do. It's amazing how we pull this off every day.
I wonder if that dude hit. He tried every machine at Bar Canada.
Is that the guy at the end over there? Is that a different guy?
That's
different
a new guy. Yeah.
Chance Copperpot. Betting all tourney dogs update. Minus 1.1 units. I stuck with it after the favorites run. There you go. For those who wanted to do the whole...
Wait, who's that? Corbin? Buddy Corbin?
Remember all the... There was this thing after the first day or
you
two.
You bet every dog?
There's this thing where everyone was like, you just bet the dog on the money line. You'll make money. And then all the favorites just destroyed them after a couple days. Yeah, so he says it's minus 1.1 units when all is said and done.
Okay.
And then Tim Kafer, nothing is funnier than Kelly yelling, splitting bets with his mic potted down. I'm with you, man. There is nothing better.
So sometimes the D needs a wake-up call. You know what I mean? Like, we got a group at Sigma Derby right now. Nobody's drinking, but they need a little wake-up call.
And one last one, Gil. I'm sorry, David. One last one. Jaffers 23, because this is against anybody can fill out a bracket. He said, Gil, an 8-year-old girls bracket at our golf course. That awards drinking bonus points. We're in Wisconsin. He said, this any good? First prize, free membership. She has NC State and Bama in her finals.
That's great. How does that work if she wins?
Yeah.
She's not old enough for a membership.
Hello, Ashley. You're a little too young. Jake Hahn is with us, ladies and gentlemen, to talk hockey and all things golf. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jake, of course, the co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL. You can follow him at JHahn4. That's the number 4. What's happening, Jake?
Not too much, guys. I have not fallen for any April Fool's jokes just yet, but a friend of mine did fall for cheap beers at the Rogers Center this year. I think a local Toronto blog site put out something that said $7 beers, so he got a little bit excited for that. So some people are falling for things out there. I wish that one was true.
How much is an actual beer at the Rogers Center?
Yeah,
like $15.
Canadian dollars, but still.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even real money, but it's still expensive.
I need Matt Brown for the conversion rate.
Yeah, we do need Matt Brown.
I can't help you there.
Hey, Jake, you had one of these golfers that finished a stroke behind yesterday, the Houston Open?
I did. The mess of golfers that finished one behind Steven Yeager. And I mean, I really thought we were going to see a playoff there after the dart Scotty threw on 18. He puts the pressure on Yeager. Yeager almost makes the putt to just win outright. And then I'm thinking, okay, I know Scotty struggled with these short putts, but he should be able to make this 5-footer and we get a playoff and we could see him try to go for three wins in three starts. So, hey, congrats to anybody that had Yeager. I know a lot of people have been betting him for a very long time, waiting for that payoff. I have not been one of those people. But I know the feeling of being on a specific golfer and, you know, continuing to say, no, at some point it's going to happen. And then eventually it pays off. So anybody that was on the Yeager bombs train, I think nice to see him pay off finally yesterday.
Yeah. And we learned last week that you're a tennis guy too. Did you have either Jannik Sinner or Danielle freaking Collins in Miami to win it?
I did have a piece of Danielle Collins on the outright, actually. I didn't grab it pre-tourney, but after about a round or two of watching her play and seeing the form that she was in, and she's just one of these players that she can find that form. Obviously, there's a boom or bust quality where, you know, you feel like she could maybe lose in the early rounds as well. But once you see, you know, even through a round or two of a tennis tournament form like that, I think it was worth a sprinkle. So I was glad to hit on Collins. And I mean, Jannik Sinner just continues to prove
amazing.
That
yeah.
Him and Carlos Alcaraz, I think these are the guys to beat right now at this point. And obviously Alcaraz went out in kind of shocking fashion really over the weekend. But I think it's Sinner, it's Alcaraz. Those are the guys you're looking at moving forward. We can never rule out Novak Djokovic, obviously, but I just think Sinner and Alcaraz are playing at such a high level right now. It's unbelievable.
Hockey question. All right. We are on the doorstep of the playoffs. April is here. We'll round out the regular season and the jockeying for position will have ceased. The musical chairs will have stopped. What is the postseason, obviously division winners, top three in each division, and then two wild cards per conference is how it works in the NHL. What is the potential first round matchup that you as a hockey guy hopes happens because you know instinctively that the betting line per your assessment will be off and you can exploit it?
I think for me, as somebody that's been really high on the Nashville Predators for a few weeks now, and their unbelievable run really from going to a team that nobody saw coming this year to, okay, this is a nice story, they're in the playoff race, to, okay, wow, this team might actually beat someone in the playoffs and become a bit of a contender. And I think the odds market has been a little slow to adjust on them. I'm curious how they handle them come playoff time, and maybe some of it will depend on how they finish the season and what kind of form they go in these last 10 games or so. But I think if Nashville got Vancouver, for example, in the first round, that's an underdog I would be willing to back. The only downside to that is I think they would end up becoming a very trendy underdog pick. And those, as you guys know, in really any sport, that's never a good thing when we all pile onto one sort of trendy underdog upset type pick. So for me, it's Nashville if they do end up hooking a Vancouver. Heck, I even think they could go toe-to-toe with a Colorado and give them a great series, as much as the Avs can push the pace. So you'd probably get a better price on that Colorado series, to be completely honest. But I'm looking to back the Preds in the first round against whoever they play.
Okay, I like that answer. Here's the other one, and I hesitate to do this when it's when we're talking about the hockey playoffs, because, listen, baseball and hockey, most random postseasons of all. But I will ask it anyway. Give me your group of teams that you feel legitimately can win the Stanley Cup this year.
It's honestly, it's a large group this year, guys. And I don't want to hedge too much and give you like 9 or 10 teams, because I think that's probably going a little bit too far. But I think your two Metro favorites are just a class above everybody else in their division, and that's the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. I think the Florida Panthers are clearly capable of doing it, like what we saw last year, and they came really close. I would put Boston on the edge of this conversation. I don't want to disrespect the Bruins, another great regular season for them. So I think they have a legitimate shot. I think the Avs and the Stars in the Central have a legit shot at it. And in the Pacific, I'm still really only looking at the Edmonton Oilers as the team that has the ceiling to be able to go on and actually win a Stanley Cup with prime Connor McDavid on their roster. So that's probably 7 teams right there in my mind that I would be grouping together with very legitimate claims to a cup this year.
All right. Less than 3 weeks left in the regular season. We have 8 games in hockey tonight. Do you like anything?
Well, I think Islanders Flyers is a game that jumps out. And you asked me too, Gil, what first round matchup I would be looking at more from a betting perspective. But I think from an excitement standpoint, if we could somehow get Islanders Rangers still, if the Islanders want to pass the Flyers here and maybe get into that second wild card spot, and we could actually get the battle in New York in the first round, I think that would be a lot of fun. That's the game of the night in terms of playoff implications. And Philly is coming off a couple of horrible losses. They had Montreal and Chicago, two of the worst teams in the NHL, and they got smoked by both of them in the middle of a playoff race. So John Tortorella cannot be happy about this. The one thing I will say about the Flyers, whenever they faced adversity this year and they've had some bad losses, they've come out of it and played quite well. So I'm going to give the Flyers a chance here tonight, closer to a pick'em price. I think they're around minus 120 right now. Maybe shop that around, see if you can get it closer to a pick'em. But I think Philly steps up after facing some adversity and a couple of bad losses.
All right. Any other play tonight?
Let's go to the New York Rangers, who I just talked about. And I think this team is a class above almost everybody else in their division outside of Carolina. We know how good the Canes are as well, but they're up against the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. They're about minus 200 on the money line, but the Rangers are a team I'm comfortable backing on the puck line. I think when they play to their ceiling, you get a little bit of plus money. Maybe you have to sweat the empty netter at the end of the game, but I think they know what's on the table right now. This is a team that's priming their game, getting ready for the playoffs, and trying to lock up that one seed in the Eastern Conference and home ice advantage. So I don't think you get a sleepy Rangers team tonight.
Jake Hahn, everybody, co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on Sirius XM NHL. Jake, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy.
Always love jumping on with you guys. Have yourself a great weekend. Masters week next week. I can't wait.
Oh, yes. Augusta, where for the whatever consecutive year I will not be attending. Bucket list. We'll come back. College hoops with Matty Cox from Three Man Weave. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.